Some of the modern theories, not the mythic ideas, but the modern theories about how these centers developed, focus on economics. We have a surplus of wealth theory. Villages produce more food than they need. Individuals accrue wealth. We have a ruling class emerging. Some people are freed to do artisan work. Some people are freed to do religious work. We have hierarchy and stratification, and we have greater complexity. Religion is definitely a factor. Beliefs, local gods, as I said. A local deity meant that you had to have a local temple, and there were functionaries of this temple, and the god had to be served and often fed. That is, goods had to be given to the gods, and the temples began to accrue wealth. One theory is that of challenge and response. These continually growing complex organisms, towns, cities, required administration. The landscape of Egypt and Mesopotamia required administration. It was a challenge. That is, the land had to be irrigated. You had these great river valleys, and you had to control the water and control agriculture. So you needed administrators, you needed rulers. This idea of challenge and response is identified with the great English historian Toynbee and has been taken up by many other theorists and historians since then, including the great historian William McNeill of Chicago. So again, both in Egypt and Mesopotamia, increasing complexity, urban centers, and religious ideas. There has been much discussion about the relative development of Egypt and Mesopotamia. The scholarly consensus today is that Mesopotamian society and writing develops a bit earlier than Egyptian culture. Egyptian culture lags by a few centuries, and we can trace influences from Mesopotamia on Egypt, and then in a later period, influences from Egypt on Mesopotamia. There's a lot of reciprocity between these cultures. Now, I spoke about the idea that societies had to produce enough food in order to have an urban culture, and that irrigation was all important. Both the Nile and the rivers of Mesopotamia, the Tigris and the Euphrates, overflow their banks and deposit silt along the riverbanks. This means that you can grow crops. You can grow crops a number of times a year, and with that, you can provide more than enough food, and you can engage in import and export of food. In Egypt, the overflow of the Nile was very predictable. It began in early summer and subsided in the fall. And the overflow of the Nile was, for the most part, a large-scale national story. So one centrally administered system of irrigation under the control of a king and his administrators was able to control this. In fact, it was necessary to control it. In Mesopotamia, the system worked somewhat differently. There, along the two rivers, you have regional inundations. Not everything happens at the same time. You have tributaries of the river, and control over irrigation and agriculture tended to be more local. This went along with the idea of the local god, local ruler, local god. These local centers in Mesopotamia were organized into confederations, and by the middle of the third millennium, about 2500 BC, the Sumerians had approximately 30 such entities, emerging city-states under their control.